Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
All right, so today we're diving deep into Visa's world, specifically their performance in fiscal year 2024.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to unpack it all. We've got their Q4 earnings call transcript and that massive 2024 10-K filing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if Visa can really keep their crown in this crazy, fast-changing payments world.
Yeah, it's a wild world out there. But you know what really jumps out at me? Despite all the, you know, global economic whatchamacallits hiccups, Visa had a stellar year, not just a good quarter, but like a strong finish to the whole fiscal year.
Okay, so paint the picture for us. How stellar are we talking?
Stellar, like $9.6 billion in revenue for Q4 alone. But here's what I think is really interesting. Remember back in their 2020 Investor Day presentation?
Yeah, vaguely.
Visa set this goal, this ambitious goal, to hit 30% net revenue from what they called new flows and value-added services.
Right, right. Like they knew the world was going beyond just swiping plastic.
Exactly. They were ahead of the curve. And guess what? They exceeded that 30% goal this year. That tells me their shift, their strategic shift, away from just relying on traditional consumer payments. It's really paying off.
So they're evolving. They're not just sitting back and letting the world pass them by.
Exactly. A key part of that evolution has been this impressive string of renewals that they've secured. It's like Visa is a master chess player out there, locking in these partnerships all over the globe.
So give us some examples. Who are they teaming up with?
Well, for starters, their deal with Standard Chartered Bank. This isn't just like some simple renewal. It's a big expansion, multifaceted. They've got credit in Asia covered, debit in Africa, and they're even expanding credit offerings in the Middle East. And of course, it all includes those value-added services we talked about.
So very targeted expansion,
yeah,
not just maintaining a presence.
Exactly. And then there's the renewal with RBC in Canada. RBC is Canada's top issuer, and Visa got them. Across consumer, small business, indie commercial portfolios, it's the whole package.
They're building a fortress of partnerships.
Yeah, a fortress. And while they're fortifying their existing relationships, they're also pushing into the B2B market aggressively. Their 10K shows $1.7 trillion in commercial payments volume.
Whoa, that's serious money. Why the big focus on B2B?
Because B2B payments are ripe for disruption. Just think about all those clunky processes, all the paper businesses still rely on. Visa sees a huge opportunity there. Streamline things. Make B2B payments digital, efficient, and secure.
So they want to rule the B2B world too, not just consumer payments.
Precisely. They even snagged a new virtual card issuing deal with JP Morgan Chase in Europe. That proves they're serious.
Okay, so lots of external wins. But what about internally? Their 10K gave us a peek behind the curtain.
Right? Yeah, for sure. It's interesting. They grew their workforce by 10% this year.
Wow.
But it's not just about hiring. It's about keeping those employees happy. They've got this program. It's called UPLFT. It's all about recognizing and rewarding their talent.
Wait, you think Visa's like showering their employees with appreciation? That's not your typical corporate giant.
But that's the point. They're realizing their people are their biggest asset. They're even rolling out their own secure version of ChatGPT to help employees be more productive and creative, foster a culture of innovation and collaboration.
Smart. It's not just about the bottom line. It's about investing in people.
Exactly. But even with all this good news, there are some headwinds they're facing. You can't ignore the global economic factors at play. Currency weakness, the slower than expected travel recovery, especially in Asia Pacific. Those things are outside Visa's control, but they're definitely having an impact.
Right. Even a company as big as Visa isn't immune to global forces.
Speaking of forces outside their control, what about the regulatory landscape? It seems like Visa's facing a lot of scrutiny, especially in the U.S.
That's putting it mildly. The DOJ lawsuit, Reg Tana, MDL, CCCA, it's alphabet soup of legal challenges.
How are they navigating this?
But based on their earnings call, they're not shying away from the fight. They're engaging with regulators globally to advocate for fair competition and consumer choice. So they're not just trying to comply. They're trying to shape the regulations themselves.
Exactly. They know these rules can make or break their business.
High stakes.
Very high.
But they're playing strategically.
Yeah.
And they're not afraid to stand up for what they believe in.
Right. And then there's another challenge could really shake things up. The rise of pay-by-bank services.
Oh, yeah. Like Walmart launching their own offering.
Yeah.
Seems like everyone wants a piece of the payments pie.
They do. You'd think Visa would be worried. But they're actually embracing it. They see it as an opportunity to partner, to facilitate these transactions, not fight against them.
So instead of network of networks, it's bring on the competition.
Kind of. They want to be the bridge, not the barrier, in the payments ecosystem.
Bold.
It is. But we need to look beyond just traditional competition. This brings us to open banking.
Okay. Here's where things get really interesting. The CFPB just finalized those open banking rules in the U.S. Big ripple effects throughout the industry. How is Visa reacting?
Mix of caution and optimism. They're strong advocates for empowering consumers with secure access to their financial data. But they're still figuring out the full impact of these regulations.
Like a giant chess game. Everyone's trying to anticipate the next move.
Precisely. And this is where Tink comes in.
Yes. Tink. European open banking platform. Big bet on the future of data-driven financial services. But how does Tink fit into the U.S. market now with these new rules?
That's the million-dollar question. They're still evaluating how to best leverage Tink's capabilities in light of all these changes.
So strategic play, but still figuring out the game plan.
Exactly. It's fascinating to watch this unfold.
And to think we're just getting started. There's so much more to unpack in this 10K. I'm already thinking about those risk factors.
Yeah.
And how they're preparing for potential roadblocks.
Oh, yeah. And those legal battles.
Yeah.
The MDL saga is far from over.
We'll get to all of that. But first, let's talk about another key development. It's sure to impact Visa's future. The rise of AI-driven fraud prevention. Their acquisition of Featurespace says a lot about their commitment to this area.
Okay. Featurespace. Smart move by Visa. Digital payments are growing. So is the risk of fraud. Featurespace is a leader in using AI to detect and prevent fraud in real time.
Like a super smart security guard watching over every transaction.
Exactly. It's a huge step towards a more secure and trustworthy payments ecosystem.
And this ties into their overall focus on risk management. They're not just reacting. They're trying to anticipate threats.
Right. They have this three lines of defense approach,
yeah.
Dedicated tech teams, internal security and risk experts, and an independent audit function.
They're not messing around.
Nope. And they're also very aware of third-party risks, especially in this interconnected digital world. They've got strict requirements for their partners to make sure everyone's meeting their security standards.
They're protecting the whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
Not just themselves.
Exactly. We're all in this together, so let's make sure we're all as secure as possible.
Right. Speaking of being in it together, let's not forget about Visa's member financial institutions.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key part of their success, right?
Absolutely. It's not just about technology. It's about the network. Visa has a powerful network built on strong relationships with those financial institutions.
It's a symbiotic relationship. Visa provides the global network and the brand recognition. The banks provide the customers and the distribution.
Precisely. And they've got this interesting share structure. It's a dual class structure. Gives those member institutions more control over the company's decisions.
So it's not just a partnership, it's shared ownership. Keeps everyone's interests aligned.
Exactly. This structure has been key to their stability and long-term success.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But even with this solid foundation, they're not afraid to make bold moves.
Nope. Which brings us back to their growth strategy. They've set some pretty aggressive targets for fiscal year 2025.
Have they?
Based on their earnings call. They're anticipating stable growth trends, continued focus on pricing actions, and reaping the benefits of those big renewals we talked about.
So a continuation of the current trajectory.
Yeah, but they also see potential upside from a couple of key areas. A rebound in cross-border travel, especially if the Asia-Pacific market picks up, and stabilization of currency volatility? That's been hurting their international revenue.
Some big ifs. But it's good to know they're prepared to capitalize.
Oh, yeah, they're ready.
But growth isn't just about market conditions. It's about innovation. And Visa seems to be doing well there.
Absolutely. We talked about AI and blockchain, but they're also making strides in contactless payments, tokenization, even biometrics. They're constantly experimenting.
Not just being ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Defining the curve.
Exactly. And they're doing all of this While maintaining a strong focus on financial discipline and risk management, they're a well-oiled machine, but a cautious one.
Like a tightrope walker. Balancing agility and stability?
Perfect analogy. That balance is reflected in their capital allocation strategy, investing heavily in growth initiatives. We're also returning capital to shareholders through dividends and share repurchases.
Growing the pie and sharing the slices.
Exactly. And they're also mindful of their social impact. Their commitment to ESG is clear. Investments in financial inclusion. Supporting sustainable business practices. Focus on diversity and inclusion in their workforce.
It's a holistic approach. Mm-hmm. It's becoming more and more important for companies.
It is. They're recognizing that doing good is good business.
Powerful message.
Very powerful.
Well, sounds like Visa has a lot to offer. Compelling story, strong track record, great future.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still so much more to explore in this 10K.
Oh, yeah. We've only just scratched the surface. Their business model, their risk factors, their vision for the future.
We'll be doing all of that in more detail next time. But before we go, I want to leave you with something to think about.
Okay.
We talk a lot about the positives, but no company is perfect. What potential weaknesses or vulnerabilities do you see in their strategy or their business model?
That's a good question. It's worth pondering.
It is. We'll pick up this conversation in the next part of our deep dive. Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
Okay, so weaknesses, vulnerabilities. One that jumps out from the 10K is the sheer volume of regulatory challenges they're facing. It's like they're constantly playing defense.
Yeah, no kidding. It's DOJ, Reg 2, MDL, CCCA. Makes my head spin just thinking about it. How much is all this costing them? Not just money, but management attention too.
Oh, it's a drain on resources, for sure. But the bigger concern for me is the impact on future growth. These regulations could reshape everything, the whole payments landscape. And not necessarily in Visa's favor.
So it's not just about winning these battles, it's about shaping the rules of the game.
Exactly. It's a delicate balancing act. Defend the existing business model while adapting to the changes and trying to anticipate what's next.
Like 3D chess.
Right. Multi-layered.
Speaking of complexity, their reliance on acquisitions. They've made some big bets lately. Tink, Featurespace.
Big bets. And acquisitions can be risky.
How so?
Integrating different companies, different cultures, systems, processes. It can be a nightmare. And then there's overpaying or failing to realize those synergies you hoped for.
So buying the right company isn't enough. You got to make it work.
You got to make it work. And Visa's track record there is a bit mixed. Some successes, some disappointments.
That's a gamble.
It is. But a calculated one. They got to be strategic, selective, and have a solid integration plan. Otherwise, those bets could backfire.
Big time.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of potential backfires, the pressure from merchants to lower those acceptance costs, that's not going away.
It's a classic struggle, payment networks versus merchants.
The tug of war over fees.
Right.
And the merchants are getting more aggressive, lobbying, lawsuits, even threats to surcharge or refuse certain cards.
It's a multi-front battle.
It is, and Visa can't ignore it.
What can they do?
They've been good at negotiating in the past, but things are changing. Merchants are more united, more vocal. They're finding new ways to push back.
So Visa needs to find a balance.
They do. Keep the merchants happy, but protect their own profits.
Sounds tricky.
It is. A real tightrope walk.
Well, Visa's got their work cut out for them. Lots of pressure, lots of potential headwinds.
There are, but they've also got a lot of strength.
Sure.
Strong brand, global reach, loyal customers, talented workforce. And they're not afraid to innovate, to adapt.
Like a boxer. Been through some tough fights, but still has that fight left in them.
I like that. And they're entering the next round with some new moves. Tink, Featurespace.
Don't forget their commitment to financial inclusion. It's not just about making money.
No, it's not. It's about making a difference. Expanding access to financial services for underserved communities all over the world.
That's got to be appealing to investors these days.
It is, aligning your portfolio with your values.
So even with the challenges, Visa still has a lot of potential.
They do. And their 10K gives us a peek into their thinking, how they plan to navigate this changing world.
It's a fascinating story.
It is.
And we've only just begun to tell it.
There's so much more to explore. Their financials, their risks, their vision for the future.
We'll get to all of that next time. But before we move on, let's circle back to something we discussed earlier. Their share structure, it's a bit unusual.
It is. Most companies have a single class of shares, the But Visa has this dual class structure.
Right. Class A for the public, Class B for the member institutions.
Exactly. And those Class B shares have more voting power.
So the institutions have a bigger say.
They do. Which can be good or bad.
How so?
Well, it keeps everyone's interests aligned. The institutions are the heart of Visa's network. So having them involved in decisions, it provides stability, continuity.
Makes sense. But what's the downside?
It can limit the influence of individual shareholders. It's a trade-off. Control versus influence.
Interesting. These corporate structures, they really shape the dynamics of power.
They do.
It's something investors should be aware of.
Definitely.
So it's not just about the numbers. It's about understanding the governance.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit. Let's talk about something else that's important for investors, especially those looking for long-term growth. Visa's research and development efforts.
Ah, yes. This is where things get exciting. Visa is investing in the future. The 10K highlights some key areas. Enhancements to their core platform, explorations in blockchain, advancements in AI and machine learning.
So they're not just resting on their laurels.
Not at all. They're shaping the future of payments.
Like a high-tech company. Disguised as a financial giant.
That's a good way to put it. They're embracing new technologies, partnering with startups, creating the next generation of payment solutions.
And it's not just about the tech itself. It's about solving problems.
Yeah.
Creating value for customers.
Exactly. Making payments faster, more secure, more convenient, and doing it globally.
It's impressive.
It is. That entrepreneurial spirit, that hunger for innovation.
It's what sets them apart.
It does.
Well, we've scratched the surface here.
Yeah.
Of their R&D efforts.
We have.
I'm eager to learn more.
Me too.
But for now, I want to pose a question to you, the listener. What do you think is the most exciting technology Visa is exploring? Think about it. We'll pick up this conversation next time.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
Picking up where you left off, you asked about the most exciting tech Visa's exploring.
Right.
Tough choice, but for me, it's their work with a blockchain. That could be truly revolutionary.
Okay, yeah, blockchain is the hot topic. But how's Visa actually approaching this in a way that makes sense for them?
They're being strategic, not just following the hype. They're looking at how blockchain can enhance what they already do and create new opportunities. For example, streamlining cross-border payments, making them faster, cheaper, more transparent.
That'd be huge for international businesses.
Absolutely. And they're also exploring blockchain for new types of digital assets. Loyalty programs. Imagine earning rewards points you can easily trade or transfer, all on a blockchain platform.
So it's not just payments then, it's a whole new ecosystem.
Exactly. And Visa is in a prime position to do this. With their global reach and all their partners, very bold.
But blockchain isn't everything, right? What about AI?
Oh, yeah. We touched on feature space and fraud prevention, but that's just scratching the surface. Visa's using AI to personalize customer experiences, optimize marketing, even automate back office stuff.
Making the whole business smarter.
Exactly. More efficient, more customer focused.
And doing it ethically.
Yes. They're very aware of the risks with AI. Data privacy, bias. They've got clear guidelines to keep things in check.
That's good to hear. It's not just about the tech itself. It's about using it responsibly.
Absolutely. And that brings us to something else I wanted to highlight. Visa's commitment to financial inclusion.
Yeah, we touched on that.
Yeah.
But it seems central to what they do.
It is. They believe everyone should have access to financial services, no matter their income or where they live. They're investing in programs, partnerships, to bring financial services to underserved communities globally.
So it's not just about profit.
No, it's about making a real difference.
Using their power for good.
Exactly. And it's good business, too. Expanding financial inclusion opens up new markets.
A win-win.
I think so.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
Their financials, their strategy, their risks, their innovation, their social impact.
It's been a thorough deep dive.
But as always, we've only scratched the surface.
There's always more to learn.
Visa is a company in constant motion.
They are. Always evolving, always innovating.
A force to be reckoned with. I'm excited to see what they do next.
Me too.
And for you, the listener, we hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of Visa, their inner workings, their vision, their potential.
As you continue to follow their journey, consider this. How will their choices shape the future of payments? What role will they play in building a more inclusive global economy?
Big questions.
Important questions.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring. Keep learning and keep diving deep.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.